Now, church, over the past 4 weeks, the past 3 weeks, 3 weeks to this point, we've been sharing and we have been looking at various tools that God has given us and tools in which we can use so that we can see growth in our lives and growth within the church, in our town, in a community. But today, we're going to ask and raise the question, what happens when we have the right tools in place? We have all the necessary tools that we need to use, but yet still, seemingly, it's not working. So today, the question is, what happens if the tools don't work? What happens? And where do I see this from in the text? Well, I see this from Matthew's gospel, very short but profound story. Matthew chapter 13, from verses number 53 to 58. And the word of the Lord reads like this. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. When you read the previous chapters, Jesus was just going in great detail, teaching about various parables. So he's moved on from there, and now he's come to his hometown, which is Nazareth. And it says, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue. And they were amazed. And then they asked the question, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of these things? And 57, our key verse, and they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And now, as we look at 58, look how profound this is. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Now, if I was to ask you the question, within the ministry and the life of Jesus on earth, did Jesus have all the right tools? We would all say yes, right? But let's look at that again. This is profound. And Jesus, the Son of God, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that gives life, your word that is truth, your word that is powerful. And now as we come now to feast and to receive your word, we pray that we would have open and receptive hearts to receive all that you have for us today. Would you anoint me afresh as your servant to make known the mystery of your gospel? Give me boldness now to proclaim your unsearchable riches. And it's all for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What happens if the tools don't work? Some years ago, there was quite a catchy song that was released into the charts, into the secular charts. And it simply says, you can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. You can get it if you really want. But you must try. Try and try. Try and try. And then it goes on to say, you'll succeed at last. And friends, as human beings, we are familiar, aren't we, with certain catchphrases that have often become synonymous with our vocabulary throughout our lives. For example, we're familiar with the phrase, hard work pays off. How many of you have heard that before? Hard work pays off. Which really means that if you are diligent and you are committed to whatever task that you set your mind to, and if you're focused towards that goal, then you should expect to reap the rewards of your hard graft and labor. Here's another one. You get out what you put in. And this phrase is relevant to all of our lives, whether it's to the married couple that desires to maintain a healthy and a vibrant marriage. You get out what you put in. So husband, you can't expect your wife to be happy if you don't spend quality time and effort with your wife. You get out what you put in. This phrase also bears relevance to the schoolgirl or boy whose goals and targets are to pass their exams. Then it's important for young people to recognize that you get out what you put in. That one can't spend all night watching EastEnders and Coronation Street and Emmerdale and you name it when revision needs to be done. Because you only get out what you put in. And then we have another phrase in the world that bears reference to the food that we consume. As the phrase simply puts, you are what you eat. That if you ensure to eat a healthy and a balanced diet of fruit and vegetables, what we like to call the blessed five a day, then you should come out, the result of that should be a healthy body and lifestyle. And then, from a biblical perspective, we read about God who loves a loving and a cheerful giver. And then we read that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. And if you sow bountifully, then you will reap bountifully. Generously, according to other versions. And friends, even from, dare I say, a political perspective, there is almost an undertone in our society and an expectation that paints the picture that ultimately hard work will pay off. However, church, the question before us today is what happens when you do put in the hard graft? What happens when you ensure to be diligent in your work? That you try to set a good example to your children and to your grandchildren, and you do your very best to facilitate a healthy friendship amongst your peer groups, healthy marriages to those who are married here. What happens when you try your best to be faithful to God and committed to your church, committed to giving out, to blessing others and to helping others, yet seemingly you have found yourself in a season in your life where you are left wondering and pondering the question in your mind, am I really getting out what I am putting in? Maybe there's a man here this morning asking the question in his mind, where is the sufficient remuneration for my hard work? Or maybe there's a lady here this morning asking the question, well, Nathan, I've been working hard. I've been taking care of my responsibilities. But where is this seemingly law of the harvest? When am I going to reap what I have been sowing? Or maybe there's a single person here today asking the question, God, I've been faithful to you. Where is the soulmate that you have promised? What happens, church, when you don't get back what you've put in? Well, friends, allow me to encourage you this morning that you may feel like you are right on the edge of giving up. right on the edge of throwing up your hands in the classic gesture of despair and saying, I quit. I want to retire from the line of Christian duty because being a Christian, it really doesn't pay off. But please allow me to encourage you this morning in the words of Solomon that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Because the race that God has called us to, church, is not a 100-meter sprint, but it's a marathon. It's a race that must be deployed with the spiritual tool of patience. And I know we don't like it, but patience is a necessary tool that God has given us that we should deploy in our lives. So what do you do when you are sowing and you are working hard and you're giving everything you've got? Well, the answer is simply keep on going. Keep on going. Because we honor God not because we necessarily expect something back. We don't worship a genie God that we just put our requests and he does everything that we request. No. We honor God and we worship him simply for who he is. Because he is worthy of the praise. He is worthy to be adored. He is worthy to be number one in our lives. Yes, he blesses us. Yes, there are many blessings that we receive. But ultimately, we worship him for who he is, not for what we get back. And church, as we come to the scene of our text this morning, not only can we become frustrated in our lives at a lack of progress or growth in our lives amongst our families, struggles at work. But even Jesus here in the text, the Son of God, Jesus the one who walked on water, Jesus the one who healed the sick, Jesus the one who once said, anyone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, they shall be filled. But yet still this very same Jesus, friends, was left frustrated at a lack of growth in his hometown of Nazareth. Because after teaching a variety of different parables, Jesus made his way back to his hometown, the place where he grew up as a youngster. Now, of course, we know that Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem. But because of the threats of Herod, he then went to stay in Egypt. It's believed he stayed there for around 3 years. But then once he left Egypt, his parents took him to Nazareth. And there, he and his siblings, they grew up together. So as Jesus makes his way back to the place of familiarity, we see from the text that his intention was for his hometown to experience a great move of God. For Nazareth to receive the good news of Jesus and the kingdom of God and to open their hearts to receive from the Messiah. And we also see that Jesus desired to perform great miracles in Nazareth so that people could witness God's power at work in Nazareth. However, we see, friends, that because of their lack of faith and their inability to receive Jesus for who he was, in Jesus, according to verse 58, it says he did not perform many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So, church, what happens when we have the right tools? What happens when we have the right message to share with Sitting Born, but yet still the fruit of our ministry seems to result in a lack of growth, or at least in the time frame that we want? Well, there's 3 points briefly that I want to share with you that, Something that could help us when we're struggling with frustration, struggling waiting on God and waiting to see growth, and we're growing impatient. I want to leave these three things with you as a way of encouragement. And number one, we see in our sermon notes, I believe in the waiting season, we're waiting for growth, we're wondering, God, what's happening? Why don't we see the fruit right now? The first thing Jesus teaches, we have to resolve to make a difference. Can we say that together? Resolve to make a difference. Now, Jesus said in another passage that we should let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. However, friends, let me help you with this. It is not our job to take responsibility for the response of the people. So we may be shining our light in our families, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our town, in our workplaces. Wherever we go, we are called to be light bearers of the truth. However, we cannot beat ourselves up if people reject and they do not receive the message of truth. Because it's the Holy Spirit's job to draw people to God. That's why Jesus shared with his disciples, and some may even accuse Jesus of being a little bit rude here, but Jesus shared with his disciples that when you go out and do the work of ministry, and if people don't receive you, then this is what you should do. That you should leave the home, shake the dust off your feet, and go on to the next house. That's what he told them to do. Don't get into arguments, don't get into a fuss, don't try to convince, share the message. If they don't like it and they don't receive you, you leave the home, you shake the dust off your feet, and go on to the next home. Because if we're not careful, church, we may think that growth comes from man. Growth does not come from man or woman. Growth will not come in this church and in this town because of me. But growth we see in the scriptures, that one man may plant and another man may water, but it is God that gives the increase. Hallelujah. Because all growth, it comes from God. So if you're here today and you are retired, and in this season of your life, maybe there's some frustration, I want to encourage you today, resolve to make a difference. Maybe there's a recent graduate here today, and you're wondering about the next steps in your life. Maybe you're growing a little bit impatient to secure the right job and career for you. Can I encourage you today? Resolve to make a difference. Because all of us are called to make a difference in our community for the sake of the gospel. However, the response is not down to us. The response is up to God. Number two, resolve to overcome lowered expectations. Look what they say in verse number 55. They ask the question, isn't this the carpenter's son? We've heard his teaching. Sounds great, powerful. But we know who you are. Yeah, we recognize you. We know your family. We know your brothers and your sisters. You grew up around here. So how do you have the cheek to come back around here and try to tell us these profound truths of the kingdom of God? We know who you are. Your dad didn't work. Your stepdad didn't work a really great job. You were just a lowly carpenter. Who does he think he is coming around here and telling us about how we should live? We know who you are. We witnessed you grow up around here. they lowered the expectations of Jesus because they were familiar with him. And can I encourage you today that as you are now, those of you who are Christians and you've been living for the Lord, but you have great testimonies because not all of you here today grew up and were raised in church. So some of you here today, you have pasts and a background, and the Lord has taken you out of darkness and he's put you into his marvelous light. Thanks be to God. But you know, I guarantee you, there may be some people who you know back then, and they recall and they remember how you used to live back then. And if we're not careful, we will allow them to lower your expectations because they remember how you used to be back then. So now they see you living for the Lord Jesus, but they say, hold on a minute, we remember you back then. You used to do some things. Yeah, you used to get up to some things. We remember, we know who you are. And now you're telling us about this Jesus. But I'm so glad that the Bible lets us know that old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Because now we are a new creation through Jesus Christ. So don't allow people to lower our expectations because they can only recall how you used to be before you met Jesus. If you allow me just for a moment to exercise some homiletical possibility, this is not in the text, but as I think back and I reflect on how the people in Nazareth, when they saw Jesus come back, they're probably thinking, man, we saw you as a youngster playing football in the town, and we saw you at school, and we saw you with your friends running up and down, and now you're telling us that you are the Messiah. So you can kind of understand how they felt. They were struggling to accept everything that Jesus was sharing. They lowered their expectations of him because they were familiar with him. So the challenge, as you can see, sometimes people will remind you of your former life before you became a Christian. They may even look down on you. And now that you're sharing the gospel, they may accuse you of being a Bible basher. But it's important to overcome such opinions and maintain the path that God has ordained for your life. Amen. But then third and finally this morning, we recognize that it's all in God's hands. One of the questions that you'll see for those of you in your house groups and those of you who want to go through the questions in the sermon notes, I ask the question, do you think that Jesus decided against performing great works in Nazareth, or do you think he couldn't do it? I want you to reflect on that question over this week. Do you think he decided against doing it? I'm of the personal opinion that he decided not to do it. Because I believe God, Jesus can do all things. But there's a reason why Jesus may have opted to say, I'm not going to perform. Now, it says he did perform some, but not many. Which lets us know that he really desired for Nazareth to experience a great, great move of God. And I don't know about you, but it would break my heart that if the Lord really willed for us here in Sittingbourne to experience a great move, but he decided not to do it. Oh. I don't, that just even saying that, it brings almost... Because I don't know about you, but I want to receive everything that the Lord has ordained for this town. But we see here that Jesus opted against doing great works, and we see that it was because of their unbelief. Unbelief, church, is antagonistic to the faith of the gospel. Because we see that without faith, Bible lets us know, according to the book of Hebrews, that it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first of all believe that he exists. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we have to leave it and recognize that it's in God's hands. But we also can do something about the barrier. We talked about it last week. Prayer. Prayer can soften the hearts of unbelievers. Through the power of the Holy Spirit that can draw someone's life home. And through the prayer of the church, then God is able, even in a town where people unbelieve, and I believe that God is able to break those barriers and those chains. I also want to close by encouraging. There may be someone here today that, not from a perspective of evangelism, but from the perspective in your own life right now, you're in a season where it's like, I'm wondering, when are things going to change? I'm sowing, I'm giving, I'm working, I'm diligent, I'm doing the best I can, I'm faithful, but yet still, it seems to be a lack of growth. I'm not receiving what's going out. I want to pray for you today. If you find yourself in that place, I want to pray for you today. And I want you to leave here today recognizing that it's all in God's hands. And in his timing, not our timing, but in his timing, then I believe that he will show you his perfect plan and why in this season of waiting that it had to be so. I have many testimonies in my life where I didn't understand it at the time. But after a period of time and waiting, then I could look back and say, yeah, I get it. Okay, I get it, God. I get it. Yeah, didn't understand it at the time. And maybe there's someone here today who's saying, Nathan, I'm in that season. I'm in that season. I'm waiting, but I'm working, but I'm not seeing the results. I want to pray for you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the challenge today that even when we have the right tools as a church and in our lives, that even still at times it can appear that there's a lack of growth. And just like Jesus, who went back to his hometown of Nazareth and they didn't receive him warmly, but they lowered their expectations of him because they were familiar with him. Father, I pray today that we would leave this place encouraged, knowing that if we wait on the Lord and be of good courage, oh, hallelujah, that if we wait on you, and that in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Help us in the waiting season, Lord, to not grow weary in well-doing. Help us in the waiting season to not be so frustrated that we give up. But help us in the waiting season to be patient and to trust you, even when we don't see the immediate results. So I pray, Lord, for anyone here today who's in that season right now of waiting, in that season of saying, when is my harvest going to come? When am I going to see the results of my labor? I pray today that you would speak to their hearts right now, encourage and uplift them, and let them know that you are sovereign, that you are in control, and we are to recognize that it's all in God's hands. And finally, we pray for this town. Just like Nazareth, we know that there are many unbelievers in this town and many who may despise the message of truth and despise the message of the gospel. But thank you that you love them. you love them unconditionally, and you desire to have relationship and fellowship with them. And we pray that you would soften their hearts through the Holy Spirit now, and that you would draw them closer to you, that they may open their hearts to receive your love. So we commit all these things to you now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As the worship team come back, before they sing the final song, there's a song on my heart I'm going to sing a few times. It simply says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I still believe he's the answer. Despite unbelief, despite seemingly a lack of growth, Jesus is still the answer. How many of you believe that he's still the answer? I believe he's the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Yes, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Say, oh Jesus, yes, for the world, above him there's no other, yes, Jesus is the way, oh Jesus is the answer for the world today, above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Friends, I want to encourage you today. If you're here today and you've not yet made a decision to embrace the love of God through Jesus for your life, I want to let you know today he loves you so much. And just like he made his way home back to Nazareth to share the good news, I want you today to know today that he completed that task. He went to the cross. He died for your sins. And now, one day we have that promise that he's coming back for us. But he's coming back, the Bible says, for the church. The church. So one must be a part of the church. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about the body of Christ. He's coming back for the body of Christ. And if you have not yet made the decision to follow Jesus, and I want to encourage you today, that following him would be the best decision that you can make. He wants to have a relationship with you. God of this Bible, the God that performed many miracles, walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead. He wants to have a relationship with you, because he loves you. He loves you so much. And if you want to make a decision today, to follow Jesus, if you want to embrace the love of God through Jesus, then today I want you to make that commitment in your heart. And after the service, there's a prayer corner right down here on the lower level, to my right, your left. And you can come there and there'll be prayer partners who will be there and they'll be willing to pray for you and with you. And if you have any questions, they'll be glad to answer them. So please do, if you're here today and you feel the Holy Spirit nudging your heart, you want to make a decision today to accept Jesus, please do meet us in the prayer corner after the service. Amen.